Hey everyone, my name is Danilo Petrovic.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kuda.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko, and you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Hey, good afternoon, tennis fans. We're back with another podcast. There's been a few winners of some tournaments. Before we get into that, we should probably push out the merch again. Just to remind everybody who's watching and listening, we have a new range of merchandise, some few snazzy t-shirts, a nice bucket hat if you want one of those as well. But yeah, jump in. Merch is in the link in the description below. Yeah.
And while you're talking about that, I'm actually repping one today. So I've got the Rafael Nadal. You can't really see it because of the green screen. I can assure you it looks a little bit better than this. But I am repping and you can see the fit's very nice. And yeah, go check out the merch if you haven't done so already. We are going to try and make sure we add some more products and ranges. But this is just the first batch, which we're going with for the moment.
Indeed, yes. Right, let's get into the tennis because we're here to speak about, well, Casper Ruud first. I think it would be rude not to speak about him. He has won 5 titles. He's emulating Andrei Rublev, it would seem, from last year and winning all of these titles, maybe on a slightly lower level on some of them, I'd say. I don't want to be mean to him because he's skyrocketing through the rankings at the moment, and his performance in the final was nothing short of scintillating, bageling Cam Norrie in the final, and only giving him 2 games in the second set as well. So it's like Jose Morgado, the guy that we know all too well, we've had on the pod. He's posted this, Rod Laver talking about Casper Ruud, saying this kid is the real thing. What do you make of that?
He's the real deal. He really is. I love him. Obviously, coming from the Rafael Nadal Academy, he was branded as a bit of a clay courter. He's now doing it on the hard courts, which we've not seen before from him. And he's looking very good while doing so. He wasn't really out of place at the Laver Cup. Obviously, it's such a prestigious event of all the top players. He was a top player. He won his matches, which he played in, and looked great. I think he's having a fantastic year. I'm a bit annoyed you used the line I was going to use, comparing him to Rublev, because I see a lot of similarities to what Rublev was doing last year to what Casper Ruud is doing to this year. If anything, Ruud has something a little bit different. He doesn't have that sheer sort of power of a Rublev. He's just got a little bit better of a tennis brain. I just love what he can do on a tennis court. Obviously, the clay court swing's a bit more exciting for me with Casper Ruud because he is super dominant. And well, we've seen the titles he's won now. What's it? Number 5. He's won more than anyone. Or is it 6? Do you want to go on to the next one?
6 in total, but 5 this year, which is the main thing.
Okay, yep.
It's pretty impressive, to be honest. He obviously started it off in Geneva, won there. He's won 2 titles in Switzerland. He won Gstaad as well. In between those, he won Bastad in Sweden, Kitzbühel. That's obviously the Austrian tournament. And then this has just followed it up with his first hard court title, which is great to see. That means he's evolving as a player. And we're getting to see, like, Cam Norrie is no schmuck on hard courts as well. We know how good he is in America as well. College tennis player, one of the best ones out there. Wiped the court with him, mate, and absolutely destroyed him. It was a demolition job. And I sort of alluded to it in the watch-along yesterday for Jannik Sinner's win. When people were asking me, who do you think is going to win? And I said Casper Ruud. I'm not sure Norrie in finals yet. He hasn't done anything to make me suggest otherwise. And this confirms it again.
And just factor that with the fact that Ruud this year, 5 finals, 5 wins. He's not someone who loses a final either. When he gets there, he usually wins and plays his best tennis. Doesn't seem to struggle with the big occasion.
No.
And 22 years old as well. Often people forget that. I always kind of think he's more like 24, 25. He's so mature on the court, but he is so young. And I know we're talking the likes of Sinner, who is he 19 still or 20? 19 maybe?
Sinner, yeah, I think he's 19
at
the moment.
There's not much between them at all. They're still really young players on tour. And what Casper Ruud's doing at the moment is nothing short of remarkable. If I'm
20,
honest,
because apologies. He's just turned 20.
Yeah.
Just turned 20, yeah.
So this is a good little graphic here. ATP hard court wins and titles prior to 2021. 16 wins, zero titles. So he's only ever had 16 wins on the hard courts for this year. This year, he's beaten it by one. He's got 17 wins and he's got a title as well. So it's just showing he can do it on multiple surfaces. And he's a bit like a Dominic Thiem in that regard. Sort of started off as a bit of a clay courter, was able to develop. I wouldn't be surprised if Casper Ruud's first title, if he was to win a Grand Slam, would be like a US Open or something. Do you know what I mean? Where people wouldn't expect it, but he's just able to do it. Certainly going to be difficult with the likes of Zverev and Medvedev sort of, and Tsitsipas as well on your towel. But anything's possible. We've seen that with the women's game very recently. So let's see. Casper Ruud right now, I don't know where you want to rank him. I thought it'd be good to talk about him as a man in general. I don't want the whole podcast to be about him, but where does he compare with other young players? What can he do? What can he achieve? Is he able to win a Grand Slam soon? Is he way off that pace?
I think it's all going to be decided when we see who he comes up against in the slams. We know that he's struggled in some Grand Slam events when he comes up against maybe the bigger players on the tour, those top five, maybe top six. I think they just are bigger hitters than him. And that's the where he falls down sometimes. And he has an amazing game, great top spin, a great creativity. And if he's on his game, the other players have to play their best to beat him. But he still seems to... I think he beat Tsitsipas earlier on in the year, but I think Tsitsipas got one back over on him, if I'm not much mistaken. Or was it Zverev? No, Zverev was the one who beat him in Cincinnati. Apologies. Al and Tsitsipas beat him in Toronto. Yeah, so he did. They're the two. That's the type of people he's losing to, though. Tsitsipas, Zverev. Just a top notch, really. I know that he obviously lost in the US Open to Van der Zandschulp, but we saw what an amazing tournament that he had.
Yeah.
And he got all the way, took a set off the eventual winner, Medvedev, who not even Djokovic could take a set off of Medvedev. So maybe it speaks a few volumes on Van der Zandschulp as well. So Casper Ruud, though, for me, I look back down the list and you look at some of the players he was beating at this tournament.
Mate, what a year he's having.
Oh, Andy Murray was the first person he beat here in San Diego. Sonego, Dimitrov, and then Norrie in the final. Almost like Norrie was the easy match out of all of them.
And it was a good Dimitrov as well. We've got nostalgia here in the chat saying Dimitrov Ruud was definitely the best match of the week.
Yeah,
one of the best 250 matches of the year, in my opinion. I didn't get to see it, but I take your word on it. And from what I think you were saying and what I've seen online, it was a very good match. And it's good to see Dimitrov coming back as well. We've seen some players who are coming back onto the tour. Some of the long stayers playing well. Gael Monfils, another one. Dimitrov. This is what we want to see. I feel going into next year, it'd be great to see an informed Monfils and Dimitrov going into, obviously, Australia, the first Grand Slam of the year. And then, obviously, the remainder of the season. It'll make it more exciting with the young players coming through, some of the old stayers playing well. And Casper Ruud, he's part of that new breed. Like a bit of a Carlos Alcaraz kind of vibe. I feel like Alcaraz is a little bit below where Ruud is right now, but he's on that same trajectory and he's a bit younger as well. If he needs to follow anyone in his career, I think it's a good person to look at is Casper Ruud. He could learn a lot from what Casper Ruud's been able to do on the court. Started off, obviously, both very good clay courters and developed their game to play on other surfaces as well. Matured a lot. You can see Casper Ruud's serves improved drastically. Same with Alcaraz as well. I think they're very interesting players to compare because hopefully Alcaraz is going to follow the same path. And if not, maybe become something even more special. We see the numbers he does compared to, say, the likes of Rafa and Djokovic and Federer when they were his age. He's surpassing them, Alcaraz. So we're in for a very exciting time in tennis. And I want to reiterate, the future of tennis is very bright. Something we always want to talk about on the podcast. And I think we're in good hands. I really do believe it. I'm not just saying it because we do a podcast. I honestly believe so. And I think Casper Ruud's going to be a very important figure in that. For sure.
I think so as well. Looking back, I mean, I know we're talking about the tournament wins and the ones that he's won. But even if you look at the tournaments where he's come close this year as well, that, for me, sometimes is a better idea of where his game is at. The tournaments when he's been up against the big players. He got to the semi-finals in Madrid. That was a big tournament, knocking out Tsitsipas, Felix, Bublik, lost to Berrettini in the end in the semis. And then in Monte Carlo as well, the Masters, got to the semis there, lost to Rublev. He obviously beat Schwartzman there, and Carreño Busta, and Fabio Fognini, all great clay court players. Yeah. So he's able to do it in the big tournaments. He's got to semis. I think the next step for him, maybe winning a 500 and possibly even a Masters. I think he's got it in him, if I'm honest. If he keeps on with the confidence, I think the future is definitely bright. But yeah, just to move on to the next graphic there anyway.
Just quickly, before we talk about this graphic, I want to talk about confidence, which you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Obviously, in that final, he beat Cam Norrie, the Brit, and he's been phenomenal all season. But we should start talking about his confidence, because he doesn't seem to be there in a final, does he?
No.
He's been losing a few of them quite comfortably, and I've just got his record up here while you were talking. He's played in 6 finals now. He's lost 5 of them, only won one. Obviously, the one he won recently was his first title, lost Cabos. Remember that beating Nakashima in the final. Yes. Some of the other ones, you'd have to say, a little bit disappointing. He lost to Tennis Sandgren in a final, 6-4, 6-2. He lost to Ramos Vinolas when I think he was up. He won the first set and he was also up a break in the second, and it sort of folded for him. It might have been in the third. He definitely had a lot of opportunities to win that match. The one we covered against Tsitsipas in Lyon, he didn't turn up for at all. Berrettini in Queens, he had chances in that one for sure. Where I think it went to 3 sets. It looked pretty close, but then this last one's the most disappointing final by far. 6-love, 6-2. So he's got a bit of a final issue, because I know them players I've just mentioned are quite good, but you'd expect him to do a little bit better against, especially a Ramos Vinolas and a Sandgren.
Definitely, I think that. But that's the thing, isn't it? And it's a bit surprising that. Look at the level of competition he came up against. On grass, he came up against the Wimbledon finalist in a final. On clay, he came up against the French Open finalist in the final. But the other ones, you'd expect him to do better, I think.
Yeah, I'm not blaming him for them ones, for sure. They're class players and it can happen. And it's just a credit to him getting to finals. And that's why we can't be too harsh, because it is a really difficult feat. I say the same thing with Felix as well. He gets to the finals and can't win them. We can't be too critical of them players, because it's very difficult to even get to a final, let alone win one. But I just expect, so especially the tennis leading up to it, we see such great things from him. And in the final, it just doesn't look nowhere near it. Like a massive level drop completely. But they just can't handle the occasion very well.
Yeah, it's a mental
thing. That's something what Casper Ruud does brilliantly. And you can see here, Casper catching fire. He's got the most ATP titles in this year now. So 5. He surpassed Djokovic, Medvedev and Zverev. So pretty good players in that regard. And listen, I think there's another graphic on the next one. I don't know if you've got it. It's quite interesting.
I'll pop it up.
So you can see here, this is the match wins and percentages. He's right up there. In fact, you can see his percentage of 79.6% is one of the best. Like, it's just below Berrettini. Obviously, Djokovic is phenomenal, 88%. that is ridiculous. He's only lost 6 matches all year, 144. He's definitely a front runner for me for player of the year, regardless of that loss in the US Open. He's just been, next level. But you got Tsitsipas here. He's leading the way with 51 wins this year. Medvedev, 48. And then Ruud in third with 47 wins. Very reminiscent of a Rublev last year. We saw him winning all them titles, a lot of them 250s. Ruud leading the race with the titles as well. It's just been phenomenal for him. I'm so pleased that he's doing it. And I think this is a really good graphic to show how dominant he's been. Also, Cam Norrie making it on there.
Yep.
He would never have thought he would have been in this conversation beginning of the year. You've got to say, one of the most improved players this year.
Definitely. He's sort of cemented himself as that UK number one player now. I know Dan Evans was really everybody's choice, and he always used to have the sort of the one over on Norrie. Now when they play each other, I expect Norrie to beat Evans, which is a credit to Norrie. He's really upped his game. I'm just hoping he can get over this mental side. It seems to be a British thing. Raducanu didn't seem to struggle too much with it at the USO. Maybe it's a male British thing then, that they struggle in these finals at the start. Murray seemed to struggle a bit with it when he had his first few finals. Maybe Norrie just needs a few more. And we look at Felix as another person that we can talk about as well. So I think not everyone's the same. I'm just hoping it's just a bit bad when you get to the final and you get bageled, though. That's what you just don't want to see that in a final. You've worked so hard all week just for it to crumble away into nothing, really. But still move up the rankings, I'm sure. You still get some good points from it, gets a good payday. But we're talking about him for the wrong reasons, ultimately.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on to the next one. You can see just quickly on the bottom of that list, you can see Yannick Sinner is on there.
Yeah, there he is.
68.5%. And that's three titles for him, which is amazing. I was just trying to bring them up. Maybe you can. I couldn't seem to find it online, but I'll let you do while I talk about this. Just so I want to see Yannick Sinner in finals and how he's got on. But I'll let you do that. Here you can see the first Italian man to defend a tour level title since 1976. We know Italian tennis is on the rise, and it's amazing for him to be able to have done this. And defending a title is no easy thing. He was able to do it. I know a lot of people did pick him in the bracket. I think, did you have him finalist or did you have him winning?
Who? No, I had Monfils to win.
So you called the final. So well done to you for that. You got here, Yannick Sinner isn't just the future. He is the now. That's true, because he's doing it right now. We spoke about Casper Ruud. He's doing it now. Yannick Sinner certainly is as well. How good is he?
More young players. This is it. Yeah. 20
and he's
year
even
old
younger.
Player.
Yeah.
And this is, I believe, his fourth title in his career. He's had five finals. He's had four finals this year, one of them being a Masters one. That should be noted as well. He lost in the final to Hubert Hurkacz.
Yeah.
And the Washington was an ATP 500. Don't forget, that was that epic matchup with Mackenzie McDonald. That was quite an epic night on GTL, probably one that we'll never forget, that one. So he's just doing it. And he's, well, the first Italian man to defend a tour-level title since 1976, which he's setting or breaking records again and putting himself in the history book, which is fantastic. So, well done to Yannick Sinner. I'm sad for Monfils. Don't think he really showed up in the way I was hoping he would show up in that final yesterday. But I think it's credit to Sinner. Some people were saying it's a bit boring. He doesn't really have that many facets to his game. And there was no crowd, so it made it seem a little bit more dull. But I think Sinner just does what he does well. And Monfils needed to impose himself onto Sinner's game. And he just didn't do it. He didn't get going, really. He was getting distracted by little things. There was no Hawkeye, so he was complaining to the umpire on different calls, getting in his own head more than he was getting in Sinner's head by delaying stuff. And Sinner just kept going. He didn't ever let up, got the early break again in the second set, and it was pretty much done. I felt a bit bad for Gael, to be honest. But
well, you did a good job, mate. I did catch a little bit of the watch along, so well done for doing that.
No worries.
But I was just impressed to see Monfils back playing well. Some of the rallies I thought were brilliant.
Yeah,
I didn't obviously
great.
See the match live, but on Twitter there's so many things being posted of different shots and rallies. I tried to watch a little bit on YouTube as well. And yeah, there was some long ones, some 30 shot plus rallies. And Sinner was just getting the better of him, I felt. I feel like he was always on the front foot, and Monfils was doing a lot of defence and sort of scampering around the court to get it back. But I love to see Monfils doing that, because I think he's one of the best at doing it. He can play defence better than most. And he's always compact that little punch at the end. We've got Gene in the chat, one of our patrons. How we doing, mate? Saying Monfils has a terrible record in finals. He's someone who doesn't do so well. But Yannick Sinner now, that's brilliant in finals. That's 4 out of 5. So when he gets there, he usually wins them as well.
I think it was, the record is 10 wins out of 32 now for Monfils. So yeah, it's quite, it gets to a lot of finals though. And that's why he's such an exciting player.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember, he's getting to some of the finals that he's lost in his career. They have been against people like Rafa, and they've been against people like Novak, and he's been in Masters finals and things like that. It's not all just 250s like this one. So he has been the who's who. He's been in and around the top 10 for probably the good part of the last 15 years, maybe. So he's just a regular staple on the tour. He's 20, I think he's 18 in the world now. So he moved up a little bit as well. So that's good. Yep. So he's pushing on. I'm just glad to see him back. Since Toronto, he's looked like a changed man. And I can't wait to see what he brings to the tour and Australian Open next year.
And I'm going to put you, sort of throw you under the bus here and put you under pressure big time. I want to ask you, Ben, if you was to compare Yannick Sinner and Casper Ruud, obviously we spoke about both, ooh, both won titles. Who for you has a brighter future?
For me, Yannick Sinner. I think he still has more room for improvement. I think Casper Ruud, the only thing I would say to him is you've got to hit the ball harder. But I don't know if that's...
Sinner does hit it hard, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's within his ability to be able to create more power or not. But with Sinner, there's so many things he needs to improve. But he's still doing so well already.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think if he gets the right coach, gets the right people around him, I think if he incorporates more slice, more drop shots, more net play, that type of thing, I think he's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, but listen, you've just said that there. And people can say Sinner is a little bit more one-dimensional for me. I know we've got nostalgia comparing him a little bit to Rublev. And they're very good at one thing. And that's just their sort of dimension. But Casper Ruud certainly has a lot more to his game. And that's why I'm going to oppose you on this one. I'm actually not going for Yannick Sinner, which may surprise you because I've been a big fan of his over the years. I still am, of course, but Casper Ruud just trumps it for me. He has something a bit different. I see some composure about him where I think he can take some big scalps soon. Where Sinner, we've seen him against some of the big guys, he does always fall short. Casper Ruud, on the other hand, he's able to beat them. Do you remember, I think he beat Tsitsipas on that crazy run on clay this year when no one gave him a shot to be able to do so. I don't think Sinner necessarily has that in his locker right now at all. I know he's younger. I don't think there's much between them and where they're going to be in their careers. I actually expect Casper Ruud to win more titles than Sinner come retirement. That's my prediction. And I'm going to be going and riding the Casper Ruud train with it because...
I think you might be right. I think he might end up with more titles. But I think if you've got a whole collection of 250s and Sinner might have a few slams in there.
I'm telling you now, Casper Ruud, I think, is going to get more slams than Sinner.
Maybe some French. I think he'll get French Open for sure at some point, Casper Ruud. But I wouldn't oppose Sinner.
So you're saying you reckon Sinner will end with more Grand Slams than Ruud? Obviously, this is a bit of a stupid debate because no one has a clue.
No one has a clue. I think that is the way I see it going at the moment. I think he has more surfaces he can win on more convincingly. I think hard court.
I wouldn't say. Listen, I wouldn't have that. I don't accept that at all, mate. I want some Casper Ruud t-shirts coming soon on the website.
Well, maybe we'll have to do it. We'll have to have a five Ruud t-shirt for five. If he gets another title, maybe we'll have a six. If he can get one more this year, I'll be very, very impressed.
Well, I'm hoping we get a Ruud song. I feel like it's a good... Ruud's always a good one to have for lyrics.
Yeah, it definitely would
be. Your creative genius could go wild with a Casper Ruud. I feel like the name just fits perfectly.
I think so. I think I could work with it. I could definitely do something. There's just part of me that just thinks, have we seen him win a big... I know I've said that he's got to the semi-finals in those big events. Let's see if he can get to a final one. I know Sinner, he got to the final in Miami. People would probably question, was it the stacks draw that everybody really wanted? That type of thing. He still had to beat the people he had to in a big tournament. He's won a 500. I think Casper Ruud once... I think they're going to be going level pegging. I think there's going to be a good rivalry. Maybe we'll heat up on the tour.
One thing I did want to point out, and this is why I base a lot of my Grand Slam picks on it, is stamina. And if you're comparing both of these two for stamina, I know people are talking about it in the chat, Casper Ruud demolishes Sinner in that regard. Sinner is a bit lightweight at times. I remember in Australia after that, I think he won a tournament, did he? And then he went into Australia against Chapo, went to five, and he couldn't handle it and ended up losing. Is that right?
Yeah, he lost to Chapo. He was just...
He was exhausted, Ben. He was exhausted. I remember watching Sinner on the court. He, for me, doesn't have enough stamina. I'm not sure we're going to see Yannick Sinner get him through. Of course, he's such a talent, and this can develop. He's only young, but I'm a bit worried about his stamina in a Grand Slam because it's so physically demanding on the body. You have to be playing day in, day out, sometimes five sets, and then be getting up in the morning, getting ready again when your body's aching. Casper Ruud, for me, is able to do it. He's got that grit and that fight in him and a stronger body to be able to do it. I'm not sure about Sinner and where he's positioned. He's a bit, I don't know, doesn't seem to have it right now.
Wow. I was just going to have a quick look just to see what their records were in five set matches, and then maybe that'll give us an idea over five sets, who does the better out of the two? Because the last time Casper Ruud went to five, He lost to Jordan Thompson at Wimbledon, but it was on grass. Then he went to five at Roland Garros with Davidovich Fokina, lost in five there as well. He lost to Igor Gerasimov in five in the Australian Open. No, he won against Mackenzie McDonald in five, though, and against Tommy Paul in five.
I wouldn't look so much into it then, though, because he wasn't nowhere near as good. I don't want to make excuses for him. I'm talking about from now onwards, the future. If we think about the future now, I've already seen enough from these players to sort of suggest that Ruud has a little bit more stamina and endurance than what a Jannik Sinner would have.
We will wait and see.
They both lose five set as well. Let's see.
Great. Yeah, well, I think the last five set Sinner had was actually against Monfils as well, which is very random. And they played at the US Open, and then Sinner won. Won the last set. He was two sets to love up, then lost the next two, then won the final one. It was a bit of an epic. Then he lost to Zverev in straight sets the next round. So that's what I mean.
Think talking about five sets necessarily, that's not what I mean when I say stamina. That's not really a good test. I'm talking about like just playing a match. And then even if he wins it in three or four, playing the next day, he can then lose in straight sets because he's tied from the day before. I'm not talking about having, it doesn't have to go the duration, the whole distance in a set.
Well, ultimately, that's where this will come down to winning a Grand Slam, though. You're going to have to recover quickly after playing lots of
matches.
That's
exactly what I mean. Now, even if it's like straight sets, but a really grueling one, then getting ready to go play the next day again, I think he does struggle sometimes with that.
Well, you saw what happened. He got to the fourth round at the US Open, only to meet Zverev. And Zverev, I think, had cruised through all of his ones. And Sinner had been to four, to four, to five. And then he just got blitzed by Zverev in straight sets. And it can happen. And we've seen it happen to Ruud. But we, like you said, moving forward, will Ruud be the same Ruud now? Or will this be a new, improved Ruud? I'm looking forward to finding out. Anyway,
so moving on, next stuff. I think this is on now to the WTA. Don't know if you want to make it a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But we have here Garbiñe Muguruza. It's the final I called for Chicago 2.
Hey.
The tournament Ben famously said in the draw preview isn't stacked. I don't think I'm ever going to let him live that one down.
We've heard it a few times, but let's keep saying it.
Love it. And Ons Jabeur in the final. Listen, when she's in the final, we saw some of our old videos getting loads of views as well. She's just so popular.
Yeah.
There's so many Tunisians across the world. Not even just Tunisians. I think a lot of people like a bit of Ons Jabeur. And the button helps that for sure on Game to Love because it's an epic button. And
definitely,
she's played her part in a fantastic final. She won the first set and then ended up losing the next few. But I don't know. I've just been really encouraged with what she was able to do. It was disappointing. She got bageled in the final in the last one against Muguruza. But on the other hand, I'm very, very pleased for Muguruza. And she's now pulled off a valiant comeback to win her second title of the season and her ninth career title at the 2021 Chicago Fall Tennis Classic. What did you make of it?
What? Which one? Sorry, apologies. I just had to just try and sort something out there a second. Which one?
Talking about this match. What did you make of Garbiñe Muguruza and Ons Jabeur and the whole tournament, really?
I mean, I didn't get to see the actual match itself, which I was disappointed because I was sort of keeping an eye on it and I thought it was incredible. Ons Jabeur, she looks like she's getting better and better every time that we see her. And I just hope that she can replicate this on the big stage finally. I mean, I was disappointed with the last set. I think it was just the rain delay, though. They had a rain delay in between the second and third set. And then it seemed to throw her off. I don't know. I don't know if there was problems at the end of the second set, but it seemed to throw her off completely, I think, this delay. And isn't it strange how Muguruza was the one in her last match, but I think when we saw her in the Grand Slam, she was the one complaining about there being a long delay between her playing points, and it helped her in this case. There was a long delay between the sets, and she ends up bageling Jabeur in the final set, which is pretty crazy. I was a bit disappointed. I just thought, oh, we're going to be in for an epic 6-3, 3-6, 6-love.
Listen, I would sort of side with Gene, though. He's saying, I disagree. Muguruza played really well that final set. She was serving very well. We know her serve, when it is firing, can be super dangerous.
Yeah.
We don't have to look too far long ago. I think it was the Australian in the final. Was it against Sophia Kenin when she ended up losing that final?
Yeah.
She had a spell of just serving phenomenally, and Kenin couldn't get involved in the match at all. And then when that dropped, she ended up losing. Kenin grew into it and played amazing. And I think a lot of Muguruza's game is dependent on her serve. She's one of them players who she needs her serve to be firing, and then all of her game just gets better with it. And in this event here, her serve was firing and she looked unplayable. And this is the Muguruza I love to watch. I honestly would put her up there with the best players in the world when her serve's doing like it was doing here.
Definitely. And this seems to be hard court is her more of a wheelhouse, I'd say. I know that she's good on the grass as well, but I'd say hard court, we saw in that final, she's played Jabeur twice on hard court now and beaten her. But they're always close matches between these two. They've always gone to three sets.
They played at Wimbledon as well, didn't she? And that's Jabeur where comes one over for her.
Yeah, and she got one over on her. She won that one against Muguruza. So maybe that's all she was missing in this one. Maybe she just needed to go and do that again. Not that we need to see it on the camera. That was a little bit grim. But if it helps, maybe there wasn't enough nerves in this one. Jabeur seemed super nervous in the last one and super tired, and she managed to get the job done. But
yeah,
I don't want to take anything away from Muguruza, though.
I don't know if you saw her post-match interview. It was quite good.
I haven't. No, apologies.
You have a look at Muguruza's. I forget all the words she was using and what she was saying now, but it was very inspiring. She's a very she's a well-spoken lady who she was giving a lot of praise to Ons Jabeur, and great sports lady. Someone who a lot of younger players can look up to and be very proud if they can emulate her in any way, because she carries herself extremely well, and she's a real idol for all tennis players, really, because I think a lot of them, good role model, that's the word I wanted to use, sorry, not idol. She's an idol as well, but I love Muguruza, and this is a great, great week for her. Hopefully now she can win many more titles and still be playing at this level. One thing she did mention was saying, I'm very excited that they're doing the finals in Mexico and they're giving an opportunity to Latin American to host such a big event. I'm all for it. I hope that develops more interest in tennis over there. She did speak about, obviously, it's going to be in Guadalajara, the finals.
Guadalajara.
And no worries. Yeah, I think that is going to be good. I'm really happy that tennis is going to other corners of the globe and they get to see the best eight tennis players in the women's game battle it out. And right now, I think Muguruza is cemented and she's very close to qualifying. I'm not sure if she's automatically done it yet or not, but she's very close and she's pushed herself in there. So has Ons Jabeur. So if we can see them two there battling it out, then listen, that's going to be great content for us on Game to Love. Because we're going to be in for an epic. We'll have the ATP finals with the Guadalajara one for the women's as well, which is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think she's up to, I think the live rankings for the WTA, she is up to fifth at the moment, Muguruza. In the race, she is in sixth at the moment, which is great. Jabeur in ninth. I wanted to say, like, I know I don't want to take anything away from Muguruza, but I think we need to put it into perspective as well, the weeks that Jabeur and Muguruza both actually had. And you've got to say that Jabeur had a much tougher week, and there's no getting around it. She had to beat Shea Su Wei, she beat Jessica Pegula, she beat Svitolina, Rybakina, and then she was in the final. Whereas
didn't Rybakina retire?
Yeah, but she was still a set and a half. And Muguruza played Ann Lee, then got a bye, a walkover. Then she played Hontama, then got another walkover.
Hey, you was bigging up Hontama on the last one.
I know.
And just the future.
Well, that she beat some good players in this tournament. She beat she beat Garcia and she beat Dart and Rogers. That was it. But Muguruza's a step up, but if she's a fresh Muguruza who didn't even play in the last round, and then she got another round off and then got to play the final. So she sort of had a nice tournament and got a nice big tournament win without having to play that much tennis, which is quite good.
She'd have to beat Harriet Dart, and we know that is not easy. There's a few players who have struggled to do that, and it leads on nicely to, obviously, Leila Fernandez, someone who can't beat Harriet Dart. Neither could Emma Raducanu, but that could be a little bit different now. And here we go. We have the BNP Paribas Open. also known as the Indian Wells, saying the new kid on the block with a Canadian flag, tennis paradise.
Should I get it with the sound on? I was going to say.
Get it with the sound. And we can see Leila Fernandez is back. And I know we've got to get back to work. I've actually got a meeting soon, so I can't speak for too much longer. But what I will say about Leila Fernandez is, well, there's no secrets. She's one of my favourite players right now, right up there with the likes of, I love a bit of Coco Gauff as well. Ons Jabeur is another one. And I think, for me, I think Leila Fernandez could have an extremely bright future. And I don't want to upset you, Ben, but maybe brighter than Raducanu. I think Raducanu could get distracted with other things, whereas Fernandez could be a little bit more focused on the tennis. But what do I know? That's just my opinion. And I actually think that she could do something even more special than US Open. If she's able to go to the Indian Wells and say get to the final and win it all, say, that would be remarkable. And I'm going to be cheering her on every single step of the way. If we get any matches with Leila Fernandez to cover, I will have the Canadian flag and I'll be repping for all you Leila Fernandez fans, because she's stole my heart these last few weeks and months. I think she's brilliant and I love her style of play. And listen, she's back. Let's see what she has to say.
Well, stole your heart and stole your mind by the sounds of it as well. And right, let's just play this. Hopefully it comes through on the... got the sound on.
Hey everyone, I'm in Indian Wells and I can't wait to play my first match here for the very first time. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
it's pretty crazy that when you see them playing in the finals of the US Open and all of this type of stuff, and then you hear her speak, I'm like, oh my god, she's actually so young.
I was thinking, this is her first Indian Wells. She's a Grand Slam finalist. She's playing in her first Indian Wells. She's just phenomenal. I'm getting a bit of a backlash in the chat. I think
good
token.
Give him some stick.
JT Fernandez almost as good as Jabeur. Well, yeah, she's not quite Jabeur level. I don't think many people are close. That's more like Serena Williams and that kind of level on Jabeur. Wow. But we've got Almina saying JG already being a traitor. Listen, you love who you love. I think it's very difficult to be forced to love someone. And I don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Raducanu fan. There's something about Leila Fernandez, though, which is just a little bit more exciting. I can't put my finger on it, but it is what it is. And listen, I can let Ben have Raducanu all he wants. If he wants to have her as one of his favourite women's players, that's for him. I will cheer Raducanu on for most matches. For me, though, Fernandez, I think, could have a brighter future in tennis. And she's someone who I find a little bit more entertaining playing tennis.
We got nostalgia saying, Jay, got to support the Brits unless Leila Fernandez is playing G.
There we go. There we go. Exactly that.
I like it. Well, I'd be supporting the Brits, mate, all the time. So it doesn't matter who they're playing. I will always be supporting them. Unfortunately, that's just the way my mind works. I can't fight against it. I just have to support the home faithful. That's just the way it is, mate. Yeah. I can't go against it. And just got lucky that a Brit won in the US Open. Hopefully see another.
Let me just clarify. I do love Emma Raducanu as well.
Okay.
Really am a mad big fan of her. But Leila Fernandez is just a bit different.
Yeah,
kind of love.
Well, we'll find that out. If we ever interview Emma, then I'll let you tell her that.
Well, it's like, for me, it's like chocolate and sweets. I love both. Don't get me wrong. I can sit there, and if we go to the cinema or whatever, I can have a bar of chocolate or I can have some popcorn, maybe. I love popcorn. I can have a bar of chocolate or I can have popcorn. But for me, I would always choose popcorn over the chocolate and the thing. But don't get me wrong. I love both. But I just feel like Leila Fernandez is my popcorn.
All right. I think on that note, we'll leave that there. So we'll put that in a t-shirt's coming soon.
But Leila Fernandez's head coming out of like a bit of popcorn.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
She is popcorn tennis, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think we'll wrap it up, mate, with that. Oh, no, we got to do the brackets. The brackets, I'm not going to forget it again. I always tend to forget it. We've got to give some shout outs to the people who won the latest brackets because there were some good ones. I just need to remember where they all are. Let me just share it quickly with you all.
So we'll bring up the winners for the different brackets. Well done to everyone who did win them. We will be moving on to a new bracket website shortly, so make sure to download the tennis app. The link is in the description. It's completely free, and we'll be doing all the brackets through there. We're also going to be having some really cool prizes for some big events coming up. We're going to be having some tennis bags, hopefully some rackets and things we can give away for free to you guys, the fans. So the only thing you need to be doing to be part of that is obviously subscribe to the channel and be involved in the bracket, which is going to be completely free through the tennis app. So download the tennis app and we can work it out as and when we're doing them. So when we'll be doing the bracket, we'll give you all the information to be able to enter. And here we go. First off, San Diego. This is the events Casper Ruud won, and the outright winner was Vamos Rafa. So well done to Vamos Rafa. 40 points, 77.8%. You've got a wild JG there sitting in second. He didn't do too bad himself. He had Cam Norrie going to a semi. It was a good prediction. And we've got Ben. Well, he could be on the next page somewhere.
Who did I have to win this one? I had Felix. Yeah, he didn't play. So yeah, my whole thing got destroyed from day one. Brilliant. Well done, me. So I think I'm down the bottom. Yeah, there you go. 74th. Brilliant. Thanks. Right.
So that's the event. So shout out to Vamos Rafa. Shout out to for Sophia, the tournament Sinner won, Betty Bella 25.
Yeah.
43 points and 74.1%. No, but Betty Bella was the winner, Ben, because Betty had the closest on the aces. So there we go. That one's complete. That's the Yannick Sinner tournament. There wasn't many aces. I think Betty had three, and there was only wasn't many at all. I forget the exact number.
Right,
the next one was Nur Sultan. And this is the one Alison Van Uytank won.
And let me just pull the other one up as well. Where's the Chicago one?
You might have to review all tournaments.
Have to work for it around here, don't you? Oh, it's this one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Let's go Nur Sultan. Laura.
And this is where Laura won this one. And she dominated it. It was very, very good performance. Well done to Laura. If you're listening, 77.4% correct. But I think she did very well in sort of that semi-finals and stuff. And I think maybe you edged me on this. There we go. Got a bit lucky. Nice. Beat me by a point.
Oh,
here we go. JG right near the top again. He predicted the final. Bit of a JG here. Wow. Some t-shirts coming soon. Chris, the final was Ons Jabeur Muguruza. I called the final. I called the winner as well. I had Ons Jabeur to beat. No, sorry. I had Muguruza to beat Ons Jabeur in the final. So I couldn't have done much better apart from the earlier rounds where I must have got... I don't know what I've done. So I don't know how I've managed to mess this up. But Chris Swarberg did win.
Our patron. He's up there at the top.
He had less correct picks than me, but he did it. And well done to Chris, the patron. 76 points. We'll send you a message in the Patreon with a little screenshot of it just so you can gloat and a congratulations, because he is one of our patrons and he did very well in this event. I think Ben down there in 30th.
Not a good one, that wasn't. Yeah, not the worst, but not the best by any means. Yeah, I did well in the week when we didn't cover any, but we won't talk about that week, eh?
Yeah, we don't cover Ben's weeks usually. We just skip past them, but this was a pretty good one for me. And roll on next week. So make sure that you all enter the Indian Wells bracket. We may be doing it on the new site as well, which is going to be super exciting. But I need to get back to work now. So does Ben. Shout out to everyone who joined us on this one. Make sure you like the video. Subscribe if you are new. Hopefully we can get to that 20K soon. I know it's been an endless battle to get there, but if everyone can subscribe who haven't, it really does help us out. And the last thing I want to say, if you want some nice merch, go check it out. You can see here, I've got the Rafa one on. I think Ben's ordered some as well, which should be coming soon. So yeah, go if you want to support the channel, buy some merch. You look good while doing so. And we'll see you very soon.
We will do. See you
soon, guys. Nice.